Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, October 23rd, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are in one of the most unique sections of the New Testament scriptures. And this can only be put together by perhaps the greatest genius ever to live on planet Earth as a human being, and that's the Apostle Paul. No one else could do this, and God the Holy Spirit was able to use the genius of the Apostle Paul and his spiritual maturity to present this unique paragraph, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. We thank you for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in a unique passage, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. There's nothing like it in the Word of God anywhere. And God the Holy Spirit could use the Apostle Paul to present these things. First of all, the Apostle Paul was a human genius, maybe the greatest genius ever. Secondly, the Apostle Paul was a spiritually mature believer, and he had all of these doctrines nailed in his heart. And now he is presenting these things in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. In this unique paragraph, we have three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. The Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the spiritually mature believer's ministry with three series of nines. Three series of nines. Category number one is suffering for blessing. suffering for blessing given to the winner believer who has courageous endurance and perseverance. The winner believer has courageous endurance and perseverance to face and clear the hurdles. These are all, anytime you qualify, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you attain spiritual maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Well, you now are qualified to receive a very special honor. This is the highest honor. Only the spiritually mature believer is qualified to receive this honor of undeserved suffering for blessing. It's a mantle which has tremendous visible impact for angels and mankind. I hope all of you will grow up to the point of spiritual maturity. I hope all of you will receive this honorable mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. God only gives it to winner believers. He doesn't give it to baby believers, doesn't give it to adolescent believers. He doesn't give this to carnal reversionistic believers. The only people that are qualified to receive this are those who have attained spiritual maturity, the winner believer. And then God can give you a special gift, and that is suffering for blessing. We have, in this first category, we have studied the first five. There are nine. We've studied the first five. So the winner believer has courageous endurance, courageous perseverance in afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments. We've studied five. We have four more to go in that first category. That's in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. Then we come to category number 2. Nine characteristics that mark the winner believer as having virtue love. It describes virtue love in all these various facets. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, it has a lot of neat characteristics. And we have here nine of those characteristics that describe the winner believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7. And then we will come to category number 3. In closing out this description of the ministry of the winner believer, we have nine paradoxes which are all to be seen. 2 Corinthians 6, 8 through 10. Well, we are halfway through category number 1, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. As a spiritually mature believer, we are given a gift from God. Now, when you're a baby believer or adolescent believer, you wouldn't consider this a gift. And if you are a carnal reversionistic believer, you don't receive suffering for blessing. You receive suffering, but it's called punitive suffering, suffering for discipline. And you wouldn't recognize it as a gift either. But the winner believer recognizes this as a gift, a special gift for you. So the winner believer, as a winner believer, we are given a gift from God. And that gift from God is undeserved suffering for blessing. This is a part of the greater grace blessing package. And there's a whole package of greater grace blessings for the spiritually adult believer. Whole package. And we've studied some of those, but we're only looking at here one part of that greater grace blessing package, and that is suffering for blessing. So this is a part. This is just a small part of greater grace, the greater grace blessing package that God has for the winner believer. God wants to show Satan and all fallen angels that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, even in times of great suffering. And one of the great, great illustrations of this from the Old Testament is Job. Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. Job loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Satan accused Job, attacked Job, and said, well, the only reason why he serves you, you put a wall of fire around him to protect him. You take away all of his blessing. Take away all of his prosperity. Take away his family. Take away all of... Job is not only the greatest believer on the earth, he's the wealthiest believer on... You take away all of his wealth, all of his animals and business. Take it all away from him. You take his health away from him. He will curse you to your face. That's what Satan said. So the Lord says, all right, take those things away. Undeserved suffering for blessing. This is the greatest example. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Satan took all those things away. And Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not curse the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that was a testimony to all the angels, a testimony to Satan, a testimony to all the fallen angels, a testimony to all the elect angels, a testimony to all of mankind of this winner believer, clearing the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing by precisely correct procedure. God's problem-solving devices that he had in his heart. It's an honor. Job wasn't receiving discipline. Job wasn't being spanked by the Lord. This was a part of the greater grace blessing package, and he had fantastic impact to man and angels alike. So, God wants to show Satan and all fallen angels that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, even in times of great suffering. To show the world your virtue love brought to completion in your heart, God gives you great suffering for blessing. Now that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, God is going to show the world what it looks like. You see, people can't look into your soul. They can't look into your heart and see the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Your soul and your heart is hidden from them. But man can see your body, but not your soul. So God says, I'm going to show fallen angels, elect angels, all mankind, the beautiful virtue love and God's problem-solving devices that you have in your soul. The ministry of the winner believer shows the world what the grace and the power of God can do. So verse 4 says, rather, in every way we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance. And then he goes through 9 categories of suffering for blessing. And by the way, the Apostle Paul received every one of these 9 categories himself. Now You won't have receive all of them unless you qualify as a greater believer as Paul is. And I don't know if we have any Apostle Pauls here. The Apostle Paul was the greatest believer perhaps of all time. He received every one of these nine categories. Every one he received and passed it with flying colors. He cleared the hurdles of all nine of these categories of suffering for blessing beautifully, perfectly, and glorified God to the maximum. So, you might receive a couple of these, or two or three of these, but I doubt if any of you receive all nine. If you do receive all nine, wahoo! That's a great honor for you. So we have studied the first five of these, and category number one was phlipsis, and we had a prepositional phrase introducing all nine of these. It's N plus the dative, and N plus the dative in all nine of these is the dative of sphere, and so it means in the sphere of. And the first word, a first category, is phlipsis. And literally that means pressing or pressure. Phlipsis refers to mental pressure. It refers to distressing circumstances of life. It refers to afflictions. And when mental pressures hit the soul of the spiritually mature believer, he clears this hurdle with precisely correct procedure, the grace and power of God. He knows God's problem-solving devices. He has them out on the flat line of his soul, and he clears these hurdles perfectly. He uses the precisely correct procedure of God's problem-solving devices. And here, especially, he lives the faith rest life. And he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and living the faith rest life. Then the reflected glory of God is seen by the angels and all mankind. So that's the first category, phlipsis. Category number two, and we again have N plus the dative in the sphere of ananke. And ananke is calamities, persecutions, torture, hardship. And the Apostle Paul received all of these things and cleared the hurdle beautifully and glorified God to the maximum. Category number three is N plus the dative of sphere of stenochorea. Literally, stenochorea means narrowness, but figuratively it means difficulty, anguish, trouble, distress, and many times includes excruciating pain of soul or body or both. And then category number four is N plus the dative in the sphere of plagae. And plagae literally means a blow, a wound, a bruise as a result of being hit. Figuratively, it means a blow in the sense of misfortune, to be struck down with misfortune. So plagae includes several things. Plagae includes violence. It includes being beaten up, wounded, tortured. The Apostle Paul had this happen over and over and over again and glorified God in every one of these. He was beaten up. He was whipped. He was beaten with rods again and again and again and glorified God to the maximum. And this is suffering, suffering the blows of misfortune, suffering for blessing that the winner believer faces. And then category number five, and that was in the sphere of phulake. And phulake literally means to watch or to guard, and it's used of guarding prisoners in a prison. And it's used in our verse for unfair incarcerations of the winner believer. Unfair incarcerations of the winner believer, being deprived unjustly of your freedoms and normal functions in life. And we are at that point in our country, so much apostasy and degeneracy, that if we continue in the trend we're going, this will occur for Christians throughout America in our day. Now that brings us to category number 6. And we always, in the King James, it says tumults. Have you had a tumult? This is the preposition en plus the dative plural of akatastasia. En plus the dative again, dative of sphere, but akatastasia. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 alphas in one word. 5 alphas. Akatastasia. A-K-A-T-A-S-T-A-S-I-A. Akatastasia. All right. 1, akatastasia means disturbance. It means disorder. It means unruliness. Disturbance, disorder, unruliness. 2, it is used of mobs and riots and revolutions, mob violence, riots, revolutions. 3, this is suffering from political persecution. Suffering from political persecution. And then category number 7. Category number 7 in the King James says, in labors. Again, N plus the dative of sphere, in the sphere of kapos. K-O-P-O-S, kapos. First of all, 1, kapos means trouble, difficulty. And then 2, it came to mean work, labor, toil, especially hard work. Hard work. 3, this is hard work to the point of total exhaustion. Hard work to the point of total exhaustion. This is the result of fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Category number 8. King James says, in watchings. This is again N plus the dative of sphere, in the sphere of agrupnia. Agrupnia. Looks like that in the Greek, A-G-R-U-P-N-I-A, agrupnia. And 1, literally, agrupnia means wakefulness, wakefulness. Secondly, it's only in the plural, and it means sleepless nights. Sleepless nights as a result of hardship and suffering. Sleepless nights as a result of hardships and suffering. 3, this includes suffering from being deprived of sleep to suffer from lack of sleep. So this includes suffering from being deprived of sleep and to suffer from lack of sleep, agrupnea. And then category number 9 in fastings, and this is N plus the dative again, dative of sphere, in the sphere of nasteia. Looks like that in the Greek, N long E, S-T-E-I-A, nasteia. Now this noun, nasteia, one, comes from the verb nastewo. N long E S T E U long O, nastewo. And nastewo is the verb for fasting. Now, fasting in the Word of God was used for intensified worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So nastewo was the verb for fasting so that you could have intensified worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, literally, nasteia means fasting or abstention from food. Fasting or abstention from food. That's literally. Three, generally it's used of hunger. Hunger brought about by being deprived of food. You're hungry because you don't have food. Four, nasteia is used in our verse for suffering from being deprived of food and suffering from not having the necessities of life. Suffering from being deprived of food and suffering from not having the necessities of life. All right, now listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5, category number 1. Rather, in every way, we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance in the sphere of afflictions, in calamities, in distresses and troubles, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, mobs, political persecution, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion, in sleepless nights, in hunger. All of these are suffering for blessing, given to the winner believer only. Now the Apostle Paul was a winner believer. And he has gone through all 9 of these. And he's going to teach this when we get a little further along. We're in chapter 6. Wait till we get to chapter 11. In fact, I'm not going to wait. Turn over to chapter 11. Previews of chapter 11. But the preview is right here in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5. But everything that Paul describes here, he has received all 9 of these and cleared them all and glorified God to the maximum in every single one. The winner believer, it's a privilege and an honor to receive the mantle of suffering for blessing. 2 Corinthians 11, let's start at verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. And then he describes, I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was stoned to death, but he was resuscitated. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? Well, the Apostle Paul received all of this as undeserved suffering for blessing. God only gives this to the winner believer. Paul's a winner believer. Paul's received all these. And Paul cleared the hurdle of each one of them with precisely correct procedure. God's problem-solving device. He had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He had all of God's problem-solving devices, and he applied them perfectly, cleared all these hurdles, and glorified God to the maximum. Anybody else go through these things, they say, you know what? I'm getting out of the ministry. Forget this. I'm not going to keep doing this. Keep teaching about God's grace and God's truth. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing and camping and hunting and to hell with all this stuff. Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say, I quit. He kept on keeping on. And this was an honor and a privilege. And this is what God has in a very special blessing for the winner believer. Winner believer only. So the Apostle Paul will go into these things in more detail when we get to 2 Corinthians 11. So, point one. All of these 9 categories in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5 are suffering for blessing given to the winner believer only. All of these 9 categories in 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5 are suffering for blessing given to the winner believer only. Two, suffering for blessing is part of the greater grace blessing package given to the spiritually mature believer. God has an entire greater grace blessing package. And we will go through all of the parts of the greater grace blessing package, but not here, right in this section. But suffering for blessing is part of the entire greater grace blessing package given to the spiritually mature believer. Three. They are designed by God to show to the world, both angels and man, the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I got ahead of myself. That's point four. So they are designed by God to show to the world, both angels and man, the virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Four, the spiritually mature believer loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. In times of prosperity and in times of suffering, it makes no difference to the spiritually mature believer. He loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength when things are going great in prosperity, but he also loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength in time of suffering. It makes no difference to the winner believer. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in the winner believer's heart. The Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in the winner believer's heart. The winner believer has maximum personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. Six. The invisible God in the heart of the winner believer. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ results in great visible impact to the world, both angels and man. The invisible God in the heart of the winner believer, his personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ results in great visible impact to the world, both to angels and man. Seven, great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivates great functional virtue to the world. Impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ motivates great functional virtue to the world. Impersonal love for all. So we're one third of the way through this amazing, amazing passage. In 2 Corinthians 6, 4 to 10, the three demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer in full-time Christian service. This includes the universal ministry of every church age believer. This is the ministry of the believer as a royal priest. This is the ministry of the believer as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And in this paragraph, the Apostle Paul gives three demonstrations of the winner believer's ministry with three series of nines. We have just studied category number one, suffering for blessing, given to the winner believer only, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 5. Now, that brings us to category number two, nine characteristics that mark out that the winner believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 6 and 7. So category number two, nine characteristics that mark out the fact that the winner believer has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, verses 6 and 7. So we start out in verse 6, characteristic number one. All nine of these are characteristics of virtue love. Now the winner believer has what? The winner believer has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. In this series of nine, these are all characteristics of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. This is really, this is awesome. I'm going through this and I'm just having palpitations and getting down and doing push-ups and getting back up again. Oh, this is great. Whew. Characteristic number one, and you won't have a clue as to what this means unless you have been here and grown up in the grace and knowledge, by pureness. And you, well, I am pure. Okay. Now, we still have N plus the dative, but we switch. We switch from the dative of sphere, describing the categories of suffering for blessing, to the dative of means, describing the characteristics of virtue love. So now in these nine, we have N plus the dative again, but now it's the dative of means, and it's by means of each time. And the first one is hognotes. H-A-G-N-O-T-long-E-S. Hognotes. All right. Well, I need to explain this from the Word of God. We're going to go through the Scriptures here and see exactly what this means. Hognotes, point one, is only found two times in the New Testament Scriptures, and both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. And both times it is used in 2 Corinthians. So it's used in our verse, 2 Corinthians 6:6. And the other time it's used in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So turn over to the only other place where this word is used, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I am afraid lest, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity," hognotes, purity of devotion to Christ. So that's the only other time it's used, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And he is warning the believers in Corinth. Satan has a plan. And he developed a system to rule planet Earth. And he developed a system to rule the people in planet Earth, unbelievers and believers. And it's the cosmic system. And you get out of fellowship with God and get in the cosmic system, you don't have purity of heart. You have a heart full of garbage. A heart full of human viewpoint garbage. A heart full of mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. A heart full of sin, human good, and evil. But you do not have hognotes. Hognotes is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Hognotes is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. Very likely, this is the word that the Apostle Paul and his genius coined. There is the verb that it comes from and related to, and that is used. So point two, hognotes comes from the Greek verb hognizo. And this will help clarify exactly what is being meant here. Hognizo. Hognotes comes from the verb hognizo. And this verb means to purify. It means to clean up something that's defiled and polluted. It means to clean up something that is defiled and polluted. Now turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. All right, verse 15. Titus 1, verse 15. To the pure, and the pure here is the winner believer. To the pure, the winner believer, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled, the reversionistic believer, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Now guess what the word defile is there? Miaino. Both their mind and their conscience is covered with excrement. Miaino, defile. Human viewpoint garbage. So to the pure, the winner believer, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, the reversionistic believer, and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience is miainoed, covered with excrement. Three, the winner believer has purified his soul by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Bible doctrine. The winner believer has purified his soul by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Bible doctrine. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren. That's virtue love. This is a characteristic of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have purified your soul by obedience to the truth. By means of obedience to the truth, you purified your soul for an unhypocritical love of the brethren. Virtue love. Then, so a mandate. Therefore, fervently love one another from the heart. Impersonal love for all. Here is a great characteristic of when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, here's the first thing. Hognotes. Purity. You have purified your soul and heart by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:22. Point four. This results in virtue love. Specifically, in 1 Peter 1:22, specifically impersonal love for all believers. And therefore, the mandate, fervently love one another from the heart. Five. A purified soul is a major characteristic of virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart. A purified soul is a major characteristic of virtue love brought to completion in the winner believer's heart. Six. So, hagnotes means purity of heart as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart and virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So hagnotes means purity of heart as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart and virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Point seven. However, the believer accumulates garbage, excrement, meino in his soul by living in Satan's cosmic system. By living the carnal reversionistic life. By thinking human viewpoint garbage in contrast to the divine viewpoint of the Word of God. By thinking evil, mental attitude sins, motivating sins of the tongue. So however, the believer accumulates garbage and excrement in his soul by living in Satan's cosmic system, by living the carnal reversionistic life, by thinking human viewpoint garbage in contrast to the divine viewpoint of the Word of God, by thinking evil. Eight. This pollution of the soul, this meino, this excrement, in both the conscious and subconscious mind, is cleaned up only one way. It's only cleaned up one way, by learning, believing, and applying the absolute truth of the Word of God to your life. This pollution of the soul, this meino, this excrement in both the conscious and subconscious mind is cleaned up only one way. It's only cleaned up one way, by learning, believing, and applying the absolute truth of the Word of God to your life. Getting the truth of the Word of God in your heart. Nine. And that means you must recognize that the Word of God is absolutely essential for your soul. That means you must recognize that the Word of God is absolutely essential for your soul. 10. That means you must recognize that the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. There is nothing worse than a polluted, meinoed soul. A soul and a heart full of excrement. There's nothing worse than a polluted, meinoed soul. A polluted soul creates all kinds of problems in your life. A polluted soul creates all kinds of problems in your life. And therefore, point 13, God commands us. In James 4, verse 8, He commands the believer to purify his heart. We're commanded to purify our hearts. Turn over to James 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8. James 4, 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's rebound. And purify your hearts, you double-minded, disukos, split-souled ones. And that's the reversionistic believer. Purify your hearts, the mandate. So again, question. Make sure you leave here this evening. All right, this is the question for you. You don't have to shout it out or stand up and say, I have it, Pastor Olson. How do you purify your heart and soul? How do you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart? By means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:22 in corrected translation says, because you have purified your souls in the past, with the result that your souls are pure now in the present, free from human viewpoint garbage, free from satanic policy and evil, by means of obedience to the absolute truth of the Word of God, resulting in a genuine love for fellow believers, a love that is without hypocrisy, that is not phony. Therefore, love one another with impersonal love for all, eagerly, fervently, consistently, out from the source of the heart purified by the Word of God in your heart. Now, these, in this second, verses 6 and 7, we have virtue, love brought to completion in the heart of the winner believer, and the nine characteristics that demonstrate that you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. This is characteristic number one. Hognotes. That's characteristic number one. Now that brings us to characteristic number two. So we start out by means of purity. But now you didn't know what that meant. But now you know what that means. That's the first characteristic of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And we will start next time with characteristic number two. And gnosis. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.